The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Over the river and through the woods, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, fully in holiday mode, here's Nate.
All right, let's play a little game. Guess which one of the people whose names you just heard is not here. Let me see. It must be Sam. Sam's not here.
Do we get a hit?
Wait a minute. I hear a voice.
What?
It's somewhat familiar.
Mic check. 1, 2.
Is that Diana Hong?
Oh, shit. It is Diana Hong. It's me.
The long-lost Korean lesbian.
I am here.
Welcome back, Diana.
I am here. Thank you very much. It's good to be back. What up?
Hey, while you were gone, Kareem was busy just looking at his phone and ignoring everything around him.
Oh, so everything's the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing has changed, except for... Are you bringing your inhaler?
Yeah.
Did something happen last time where you need an inhaler now?
No, I'm wearing my work pants, so they're kind of a little bit, you know, more form-fitting, so I can't sit down and have my inhaler in my pocket because it's going to dig up against my
leg.
He
didn't want you to think that his dick was crooked.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
And I didn't want you to think, yeah, my dick was the size.
I don't know what a normal size is, so to me that could be like either average or actually I know enough to know that's not big.
Yeah.
But it
especially when it's that hard. That's all I'm saying. Coming up on the show today, we've got an NFL fail. Plus, they've updated the lyrics to Ironic. We'll listen to that. And what do the candidates have to say about France and what happened there?
Oh, Jesus.
All the people running for president.
Oh, dear.
We'll take a listen to that. But before we do... This came across my computer screen just a couple of hours ago, and I wanted to share it because it's something I've been talking about, and this put it in a much better way than I have. And this is from a blog. This is a writer named Emma Kelly. She's in the UK, and the headline is, "The media did cover attacks on insert country here. You just weren't reading it." It says, on Friday night, terrorists stormed a rock concert and restaurant in Paris, as well as detonating bombs outside the Stade de France. At the time she wrote this, 132 people had died from the attacks, with hundreds more injured, some critically. Landmarks across the world, including the Tower Bridge and the Sydney Opera House, lit up in the colors of the French flag in solidarity, with countries across Europe falling silent at 11 a.m. to pay respects. Said, I was working on a national newspaper website, the Daily Star Online, over the weekend, and it was the biggest story of the year. People in the thousands were reading every single update, with every news website shunning all other stories for blanket coverage of the atrocities. But in the aftermath of the Paris attacks, many people have taken to Twitter and Facebook to complain about why 147 people being killed in militant gunmen at the Garissa University in Kenya didn't get as much coverage as Paris. Why isn't the media covering this? I saw several Facebook posts exclaim while sharing a link to the BBC News story on that tragedy. A, the media did cover it. You're sharing the BBC link to the news story. B, a quick Google search will show that it wasn't just the BBC who covered it. Al Jazeera, CNN, New York Times, USA Today, and Washington Post are all among the publications who wrote about it at length. C, you obviously didn't click on the story to read it, because even when sharing it, if you had read it, you would have realized the college massacre happened back in April. Why didn't the media cover insert country here appears to actually be shorthand for why wasn't this story shared extensively on my Facebook feed? Yes, foreign affairs stories aren't covered as much as stories closer to home. This needs to be worked on by the media, and it's a big issue. But this is not because an innocent person being killed in Beirut or Iran is less important than a white European being killed. It's because less people read about it. Everyone seems to have got up on their high horses after Paris, saying how horrible the media is for belittling tragedies outside Europe and the U.S., but as anybody with access to their news sites' analytics will tell you, people just don't care as much. A story about a town being blown to pieces in, let's say, Lebanon may get a couple of thousand hits. The Paris attacks got thousands of hits every minute. Unless it's local in proximity or culture, like in the States, people just won't click. A lot of people assume that a bombing in the Middle East happens every day, but whoa, this happened in Paris. This could happen to us. I've also noticed several stories on the site, including national news site Metro, asking why Mark Zuckerberg didn't offer a Lebanon flag profile pic filter after 47 people were killed in an ISIS suicide bombing in Beirut last week. But let's be 100% honest with yourself. Would you have used it? Of course not. Because unless the story is presented to you on Facebook alongside a string of sad face and broken heart emojis, you probably didn't hear about it. And even if you did, you wouldn't be publicly showing your support for Lebanon. Read international news sites, follow an assortment of news outlets, don't complain the media didn't tell you about the tragedy on the other side of the world. They did. You just didn't click.
I think that brings up a really good point. I also saw this one article. Like, okay, I read the title of it, so obviously I know the whole article, but it was, I read the title, so obviously, but it was talking about how the Paris was, like, quote unquote, more covered because it's like a first world, like an industrialized nation, well, which is very similar.
Right, there's also more media right there to cover.
Exactly, and like, for people to think there's not, like, I know it's a rock concert, but there's, like, France has a mixed race. It's a mixed race country. Well, it's by mixed, it's like white and black. But it's a mixed race country. It's not just white. Because people are just saying, oh, it's because it's a bunch of white people. It's not just white people.
And there's
Americans don't know that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they sound, I'm like reading these posts. I'm like, this is why everyone hates America. It's because you guys don't know. Like, and then I saw a lot of posts talking about, like, oh, well, you don't see them putting the American flag for us or, like, caring about us. I'm like, do you not remember 9/11?
Yeah,
this is pretty much
did.
The kind of the same thing on the scale of, like, it's a terrorist attack from, well, what is, okay, if we're going to go into detail, it's all the conspiracies are a little different. But, like, overall, the whole country is, like, well, the whole world.
See, obviously didn't read my post today, which says, if you think the world is getting worse, you weren't paying attention to the world before Facebook.
Let's make America great again, everybody. We covered that last week.
Yeah.
To when are you referring?
Huh?
To when are you referring if you want to make America great again?
I didn't
know. Or make the world safe like it was before.
Yeah. I said if you weren't paying attention because shit's been going on forever.
I remember.
Like, All the you know, like all the Christians will hop on. Oh, there, here we go. There, it's the end of the world. There's wars and rumors of wars. Like, when the fuck was there not a rumor of a war? Because there's been war. Somebody's been in a war the whole time we've been alive.
Well, and Kareem, when you and I were kids, the Soviet Union was a legitimate nuclear threat, and there were people legitimately scared they were going to nuke us.
So because when we were kids, okay. So the first 9/11 happened in Chile back during the early 70s. Vietnam was going on during that time. After Vietnam and all the stuff that happened in Southeast Asia happened, then the stuff started happening in Central and South America, which was the 80s.
Yeah.
And then the 90s, we came back to the Middle East, and shit was still going on in the Middle East. And then 2000 hit, and we had 9/11. So
didn't we kind of start the shit in the Middle East?
We started all the shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people forget that too.
But we started, and we started that like in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, and that was Persepolis. You know, the graphic novel, Persepolis. But then also they had a movie that was made out of it too, an animated film. That talks about just Iran, what was happening in Iran, and why that all happened in the 70s and stuff like that, and how they got so upset with a leader that pretty much
we put in place.
Yeah. I mean, anyhow, it's
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah,
we put us. In place.
Yeah, well,
let's not lose sight of the fact that the British were colonizing all over the world.
Well, and the point I was getting ready to make was, okay, so France happened, and you got the conservatives jumping on Obama about France, but these people have their own issues with France.
Mm-hmm.
France has a bunch of colonies in the Middle East and Africa, like Algeria, that's a French colony.
So is Vietnam.
Like Lebanon, that was part of a French colony. So they have their own issues with France that have doesn't have shit to do with us. Like, we weren't the dude in Texas tried to do what they did, but we weren't the ones that drew the Charlie Hebdo cartoon of Muhammad last year that would put a target on your city.
Well, yeah, no, I completely agree with like everything. So, that's I just like I saw a lot of shit on my like on my Facebook where I was just like, this is no one reads like. No, I mean, I'm not extensive on history. Like, I pick up snippets here, and a lot of it's because I don't remember the shit that I learned. But I know enough to know that, like, shit has been going on forever. If you look back on everything, it's like a lot of it is us too, and you can go back to colonization and all that. But for people to just be like, oh, like, look in your own backyard. Like, look, why don't we pray for Oakland? Why don't we pray for Richmond and shit like that? I was just like, you guys aren't, you're freaking missing the whole point of
everything. I think that why this is an important thing and why it has gotten so much coverage is because, first of all, it's a multicultural thing. So we can't say that, I mean, it was definitely a target against France and the idea of Paris and whatever that is. But it's also terrorists. People that are hate and like are want death, like they pray to a god of death, obviously, yeah. Right? I mean, their thing is death, because you don't go killing a bunch of people unless you're and they commit suicide. So you have these people that are doing this, and they're doing it in a place. They're doing it multiple, like our worst nightmare, multiple locations in the vibrance of life.
The real reason why we care about this is because it's something that we can picture happening to us.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It's an industrialized nation.
And that's like the thing. So all the shit that's been happening in Africa, all the shit that's been happening in South America, all the shit that's happened in the Middle East, we don't give a fuck about because it doesn't affect us directly. We can't envision that happening to us directly,
and we can't see it because
we can't see it, but it's something that we see and like, oh shit, this could happen here. I'm scared, so now I'm gonna comment about it, but like this shit's been happening forever, and now you have Facebook and you have a feed that shows it to you instead of you having to actually read a newspaper before and know that it was going on.
Oh, this is it's like the coat is a Coney. Mm-hmm. Remember they started that dude started that whole campaign like 4 years after like Coney was actually a thing.
Yeah.
And then people were like jumping on that bandwagon. I actually got like in a Facebook fight with like an old elementary school friend and like high school, whatever. We were talking about because she was like, well, our friend, remember Bob from high school? She like worked her ass off for this. And like, it's so great to see what all her work, like hard work come into something. I'm like, this is just propaganda. This is for someone else's profit. This is not to actually help. This is 4 years or X amount of years too late.
Yeah.
The fuck is this supposed to do?
And that's why
she didn't know.
And that's why people say so much about people and the conspiracy theories, like, because they don't actually know any fucking history.
Yeah. Oh my God. I lost my shit at work the other day because my coworker, something fucked. I'm working on holiday right now. So like all the designs and, ornaments and all that fucking shit, that's like what I'm building. So we're doing this and like one store like kind of like royally fucked up, and I'm just looking at it, I'm like, I don't know how they fucked up this badly. And I'm talking to my coworker and he was like, well, I just need a solution right now. I'm like, do you know what I'm trying to figure out what the problem is? Like, this is just a royal fuck up. We need to figure out the problem. And he was just like, we just need a solution. I'm like, do you know what the problem is? He's like, no. How the fuck do you plan on finding a solution if you don't know what the problem is? And he just kept saying, we just need to find a solution. We can't focus on the past. I'm like, dear Lord.
That is America.
Your coworker is a terrible Facebook feed.
This is America.
Come to life.
I just looked at him like, this is why so many things are wrong. It's because no one thinks to look like, you can't do, there's a difference between dwelling in the past and looking at it and learning from it and examining it. So, and no one's doing that.
So 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
So 9/11 happened.
Allegedly, sure.
All the people who've been to war said, let's not go to war. All the people who've never been to war, who dodged the draft, took deferrals, they were all the people like, yes, let's go to war. Let's go do this.
I don't know. John McCain was all for going to war. He wanted to bomb Iran, too.
John McCain was trying to get elected.
Yeah, that's something.
And there wasn't...
No. 9/11 happened after the election.
The election
was in 2000. Yeah, this was in 2001.
So 2001,
We already had That's Our Bush or whatever. Yeah. Was that Comedy Central show? That's My Bush.
That's My Bush,
yeah. But it happened. And so my uncle, one of my foster brothers, they all were in Vietnam. And so growing up, I read a lot about a lot of the stuff that actually happened in Vietnam and why we lost that war and I watched a lot of different stuff on it. So I'm having a conversation with my coworker the day of 9/11 about, or the week after, I'll say, about what happened. I was like, okay, you don't really want to send troops into Iraq the way you're saying, because there's a bunch of shit that goes with sending troops into Iraq.
Yeah.
I was like, one, Saddam keeps his people in line, so you don't have the issues that we ended up having. Like, if you really want to know know how things have unraveled in the Middle East, don't watch the news. Watch Gangland.
Yeah.
Because
I love Gangland.
Because if you watch Gangland, you realize that every time the police took out that central person who was...
Somebody else rises up.
The leader of the gang. But not somebody else rises up, but a bunch of chaos...
Yeah.
...ensues in the process of different people trying to fill that void. And so that's pretty much what's happened. But my other point was, in explaining to this person all of the different things that would go on with you just doing it, with you going into Iraq, they had no clue what the, what do you call it? The unintended consequences are when you do shit like this.
Well, in,
and we don't, like, we're the...
Before we got into the Iraq war, before we went into Iraq and people were talking about that, because everybody agreed, Afghanistan, we got to go find these people. We need to go take care of this. This is, we're not invading anything. But when it came up to Iraq, I remember the huge opposition that was against it, because there was people from the 60s were still rallying. The Vietnam veterans were rallying.
Yeah.
Anybody you talk to, I think Fog of War came out in that science.
Which was a great
documentary, which explained a lot of this shit that was going down. And talked about Joe McNamara and explained what was going on. I mean, the reason that Japan succeeded is because when we went in and we invaded, we made sure that it was set up like the way that it needed to be. We focused the energy on making sure, you know.
But Iraq was besides being a corporate greed grab, it gave. Okay, so the Taliban was probably 750 people.
Yeah.
For America, that wasn't enough blood to be shed for what was for 9/11. So they had to go to a country in order to feed the American greed or desire for revenge on this thing. Because you go to Afghanistan to bomb, you're not bombing a lot.
Or you had a president who wanted to avenge the fact that Saddam Hussein had threatened his daddy.
Well, you had that guy, but
and a vice president who
stood to make
billions of dollars on the company. By the way, here's a lesson that we really learned from Vietnam that I saw some things. So this,
you got girlfriend, Vietnam? Not just this minute.
Yeah.
Well, baby, me so horny. Me so horny.
You keep lying.
Me love you long time. You party?
Yeah, we might party.
When you are
how much?
$15?
$15 for both of us.
No, each you $15. Me love you long time. Me so horny.
So that's what I learned from Vietnam. That's Full Metal Jacket, Diana.
Full Metal Jacket.
You never seen that movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Oh, I still have...
How was Blazing Saddles, by the way?
I didn't watch the whole thing yet.
Oh,
yeah. I have it, though.
It's a tough watch.
No, it's not that. I just, been so busy with work.
For the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, I started.
No time to watch an hour and a half movie.
No, because I fall asleep. Okay. I want to actually enjoy it and listen and be able to quote it, because then I know I can hang with you guys. Because if I'm not able to quote at least one fucking line from that movie, I'm fucked.
Just watch it.
So we'll wrap our serious discussion with this. This is what the people running for president had to say about the attacks.
Allies to invoke Article 5. This was clearly an act of war, an attack on one of our NATO allies. And we should invoke Article 5 of the NATO agreement and bring everyone together to put together a coalition to confront this challenge.
There are a lot of Christians
Jeb in Bush.
Syria that have no place now. They'll be either executed or imprisoned either by Assad or by ISIS. And I think we should have we should focus our efforts as it relates to refugees for the Christians that are being slaughtered.
You have said that you would.
Jeb can thank his brothers for the Christians being slaughtered.
Here's our boy Ben Carson.
To go after ISIS, how would you put that together? Who would you call first?
Well, what I was just explaining is, you know, how we use the resources that we have.
But who would you call first specifically to put together an international military coalition?
My point being that if we get out there and we really lead and it appears that we're making progress, then all of the...
He has no fucking idea who he'd call. Not a clue. He's getting on Fox News, he's getting grilled. Imagine a real organization.
But can you tell us who you would call first, sir, on the international scene?
I would call for all of the Arab states. You know, the reason that the human brain has these big frontal lobes as opposed to other animals is because we can engage in rational thought processing. We can, you know, extract information from the past and present, process it, and project it into a plan. Animals, on the other hand, have big brain stems and rudimentary things because they react. We don't have to just react. We can think.
When you have drought,
Bernie Sanders,
when people can't grow their crops, they're going to migrate into cities. And when people migrate into cities and they don't have jobs, there's going to be a lot more instability, a lot more unemployment, and people will be subject to the types of propaganda that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are using right now. So where you have discontent, where you have instability, that's where problems arise. And certainly, without a doubt, climate change will lead to that.
So the answer is none of them know.
I think Obama called him out on it today. He was like, okay, I can't remember what the quote was, but I think he called him out. It was like, you know, he was looking for some solutions. He's like, he wasn't dealing with people that were just talking and don't have any real answers.
Yeah, Obama's at the G8 in Turkey right now. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't know. Ronda Rousey had a rough weekend, but before she went to Australia, she threw her support behind the aforementioned Bernie Sanders, saying that she was supporting him because he doesn't take any corporate money. She said, "I don't think politicians should be allowed to take money for their campaigns from outside interests." She's so committed to Sanders' campaign that she said that if he lost the primary, she'd likely vote for a third party candidate. Quote, "To be honest, in 2012, I was against both candidates, and so I just picked any third party because I thought if more people voted for third parties, then they'd have to take third parties seriously." That's smart. In 2012, she threw her support to Roseanne Barr, who ran as the Peace and Freedom Party candidate. Like I said, smart. Huffington Post notes that Rousey is one of many celebrities who have recently endorsed the Vermont senator. She joins the company of Will Ferrell, Susan Sarandon, Danny DeVito, Mark Ruffalo, that guy from Wilco, and Bonnie Raitt. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton has attracted Katy Perry and Lena Dunham. Which celebrities do you want with you? I'll take Will Ferrell and Mark Ruffalo. You can have Lena Dunham and Katy Perry.
You can have Lena Dunham. I watched like one episode of Girls, and I was like, "How the fuck?"
I've seen every episode of Girls. I'm waiting for that moment when I go, "Ah, I get why everybody's talking about how great this is." And
why have you seen every single episode?
Because I'm waiting. Everybody talks about how great it is, so I've been watching.
I have not. I was like, "How did that make this? How did they make this a show? And how did this make it past one season?"
Well,
basic bitches love them.
Yeah, it's one of those girl power things. How does Tyler Perry continue to make terrible, terrible movies? It's because African Americans roll out in mass to support him. And
Aunt Madea.
Well, a segment of them too. Yeah,
well, yeah,
yeah.
Well,
but yeah.
No.
Yeah, I get you.
Same idea.
But it was. I'm like, how does this? And if women really think like this, it's a. It makes perfect sense why a bunch of y'all are some lonely bitches.
And here's the other thing. Judd Apatow has stroke. And that's what got the show made, because he's an executive producer. And he continues to back it. Here's the thing. Every now and then, I will see an episode, and I'm like, that was pretty good. And I notice it was not written by Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham is Ronda Rousey.
Well, after the kick to the face, sure.
Shit. Okay, can someone...
Diana just poked her eye out with the stem of her glasses.
Okay.
You all right? You going to make it?
I guess. Why did Ronda Rousey get all cocky before the fight? I just saw it. And normally she's like pretty like stoic, but that time she just like went like all...
No, she's always
cocky. She's always cocky. Yeah.
No, she actually like attacked, right? Like she was like actually like fighting back. Because last time the bitch was like yelling shit at her and she was just like, all right, like...
You must be talking about the weigh-in where she ran.
The weigh-in. Yeah.
Yeah, where she walked over and got in old girl's face and thought she was going to back down and she kind of... She gave her a little tap on the chin.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rousey knocked out in the second round and out cold before she hit the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Although I've seen a lot of, including my friend Hootie, has a conspiracy theory that it was all a fix. That it was done on purpose.
I saw that. I saw the article you posted.
From Taz, the former wrestler. It's a radio show. He's like, it's all a work. It's a work. It's like, but not everybody knows what it is. And he's like, well, they do it in wrestling all the time. Here's the thing, though. When in MMA, they have interim champions. Conor McGregor was... interim is the right word, but he was not the quote-unquote champion. He was the champion until the champion come back.
But the other part of MMA is you don't have to be a champion for people to watch your fight.
Of course not.
Like, I mean, it's like the champion isn't necessarily a draw.
Right.
Like, you know, like, oh, well, if I don't have a champion on this card, people aren't going to watch this. No, if you have good fighters fighting each other on the MMA card, people are going to fucking watch. So it doesn't really matter whether she goes out and whether if Ronda leaves and takes the belt, the people that weren't going to watch women fight weren't going to watch women fight anyway.
Look, if you saw the fight before and you are still going to say women can't fight in MMA, you're crazy because that strawweight fight was a really good fight.
Yeah.
The men's fights on Saturday night were pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
By comparison to the two women's fights.
Yeah, she kicked the fuck out of her.
I don't believe in violence.
She kicked her in the neck. She kicked her in the next week.
That was a nasty kick.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "Well, Taz's like, well, it kicked her in the thick of the neck. It caught her right under the jaw.
It caught her,
and she was out cold when she hit.
Yeah, her head hit the canvas.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
her head, I was like, fuck, I think she got a concussion from hitting the canvas because her head bounced off the canvas. It was not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Ronda would have took a fix where she would get knocked the fuck out like
not,
that.
Not like that.
Not like that.
That was brutal.
She just fell in. She got cocky and she fell into that trap of chasing the boxer and kickboxer around.
Yeah.
And we watched her before the fight. Holly Holm was just dancing around. And my girlfriend Leslie's like, what the fuck's she doing running around like that?
But this is the thing. If you watched the last Miesha Tate fight with her, Miesha Tate was tagging her pretty good when she stayed on her feet.
Right.
Where she fucked up was she decided she wanted to wrestle her and she ended up in an armbar again.
Yeah.
If you watch that, like that Miesha Tate fight, you realize that she had holes in the game where she could got tagged. And then I think it was like two fights ago, the chick that probably could have fought her the same way Holly did that decided to run across the ring to jump on her that ended up getting tapped out in like 20 seconds because she charged her as opposed to letting her come to her.
Yeah, well, it was a really kind of a massacre. She just took her apart.
Yeah. Well,
and the whole thing about being a boxer too is your endurance, right? I mean, because you're trained to go like 12 rounds, you know, you're in it for the for the long haul. And this is what, 3 rounds, 5 rounds?
5 rounds is 5 rounds is a championship.
Yeah, they're 5 minute rounds.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
So they're longer than a boxing match. Boxing match is like 3 minute rounds.
3 minute rounds, yeah. But yeah, she was teeing off on her. TikTok, pow, oh.
Well, now she can go make Roadhouse 2. Or join the WWE Divas, whatever she's doing.
Do you think she will be able to make the movie now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Reconstructive surgery?
Yeah. Well, they had to sew her mouth up. They had to find a plastic surgeon in Australia to sew her mouth up because she fucked her.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, poor girl.
She'll be fine. Yeah. She'll be fine.
She knew what it was.
She made a lot of money. She can put some ice on that. She'll be okay.
Maybe it'll keep her from talking so much shit.
Now, a little later on, we're going to have the new lyrics to Alanis Morissette's Ironic song. But before then, here's an ironic headline. Politician responsible for closing public toilets gets fined for peeing in the street. That's right. A Scottish chief councillor who voted earlier this year to shut down all public toilets in his district was fined by police for pissing in the street. His name's Jackie Burns. He jumped out of a taxi line to answer the call of nature, but immediately afterward, he had to answer the call of a police officer who was probably all, "Sorry, mate, you should have made it to the piss in time." He said, "I was approached by police who gave me a 40-pound fine, which I have duly paid. I'm embarrassed by the incident, and I've apologized."
That's funny.
He said in May that local loos would be closed as a cost-saving measure due to a $33 million cutback by the Scottish government. The council was doubtless faced with some tough choices regarding cuts, but if we can learn anything from the cautionary tale of downtown San Francisco, it's that human beings don't magically stop defecating once you take away their facilities. That's right. San Francisco is a shithole.
So, you're going to take away the outside toilets in a place where you drink beer all the fucking time and not expect people to piss on the street?
Well, he got busted for it, so thus the irony. Also this weekend, did any of you guys make it to the Deschutes Street Pub?
I did not.
What?
No, I stayed away.
Good move. It was great in theory. It was the biggest scenester thing in Sacramento in quite some time. Everybody went out with their beard and their baby and their dog and their stroller. And I don't know if, because they've done this in other cities, and I don't know if other cities just had wider streets where they were set up or what, but the lines were, we got there at 2 o'clock when it opened. And the first beer was about 5 minutes in line. The second beer was about 15 minutes in line. And when we decided to two-fist it on the next time, we were in line for about a half an hour.
Ouch.
And that was the last time we got in line. It was just getting worse and worse and more busy. Now, the beer, Deschutes beer, is fantastic. So kudos to them for that. But just fucking people with their baby strollers the size of like a Fiat 500.
Yeah.
And people, I saw like a two-month-old there. There's live music, there's booze, and you've brought your infant.
Your cousins.
There were some of your cousins too, Kareem. It was a.
Yeah, but their kids could walk.
It was a.
And even if they couldn't, they were gonna make them.
It was a complete scenester situation in Midtown Sacramento. So, I like the idea of it. It was a great idea. But the fact that they weren't pouring beers until you got right up there, and each individual part of the bar only had four taps, so they could have been a little bit better prepared. And if you look on their Facebook post, a lot of people complaining. And then, of course, there's the mandatory person who goes, "I don't know what you are complaining about. I went at this time, and I only had to wait in line for a minute, and I don't know what you're doing." I'm just like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. They're talking about being there 3 hours earlier. By the time this ass clown rolled out there, most of the people probably had their beers, did their tokens, and were like, "Peace out. I'm going to go do something else."
Yeah. You know, I would like to just go on there and comment. Everybody that made some shitty comment about waiting in the line or something like that, I would, if any of them had the French flag like thing on their Facebook, I would have liked to have just said, "Oh, yeah, I guess you really care about lives and stuff, you fucking asshole."
It's true. It was the next day. Look, I waited until today, and I'm not really complaining. I'm just reporting what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. I just think that there were mistakes in how it was staged.
Well, I mean, that's the type of thing you send a comment to complaining about on Facebook. I mean, like, I don't know, man.
I mean, they're going to look at them, but just going, "We had to wait in line," yeah, that's not really going to do anything. The biggest problem was you really had a hard time telling where the line was, because it was basically a scrum, because what they did was they dropped these two-sided bars that looked like little shacks end-to-end down the middle of Capitol Avenue between 17th and 19th Street. And they had a band at 17th and Capitol, mm-hmm, with a stage facing east. And So they were serving from both sides. But because the street is so narrow and they've got everybody is fenced in from even getting out to the sidewalks, you're all in a very confined area that's not conducive to lines. There was not really a clear way to line up. So it's like, are we in line? Are we not in line?
And where was it at?
Capital. It was on Capitol Avenue between 17th and 19th Street.
You know,
it was two blocks.
Yeah. There was that part of the Capitol.
Yeah.
That was their. They maybe saw the other part of the Capitol and like thought, like, oh, this is huge.
Yeah.
This is why.
Yeah.
Because they did the farmer's market or
the wine that's like the
organic food thing.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that have been held in that area.
Yeah, that was held in that area, and it was a shitload of people, but the streets were wide enough for everybody to go through. Yeah,
if you are west of the Capitol in Sacramento and you're on Capitol Ave, it's plenty of room.
Yeah.
If you're east of it, there is not. And that was really the thing. And they partnered with Running for Rhett people, and they were the ones who were pouring. And at one point, they announced, "Please be patient. We can't pour. Our volunteers are the ones that are pouring." So I don't know what was going on with that, but I'd go again because I'd like to think that they learned lessons from what worked and what didn't here.
When I used to drink, EJ and I did the Great American Beer Fest, beer festival, like, which is like it tours around to different cities.
Mm-hmm.
And we volunteered for it because if you volunteered, you got a free day of going to everything. And they use volunteers. So what they did though is you had to come a half hour early to get training on it because you could only pour if you were trained and it was part of their liquor license.
That's probably what it was.
And if you did not get the proper training, you couldn't pour because you had to be able to know how to detect if somebody's overdrank or not. But at the same time, come on, Deschutes, you should have known.
Well, and this is the fifth city they've done it in. But their beer is fantastic. Yeah. And whether you're in Bend, Oregon, at their original place, or you're at their brewery in Portland,
and your cousins fantastic. Love beer.
It's true. It's true. Like yours love weed.
Exactly. Yours love weed more than mine do.
Well, some of them.
Who doesn't love weed?
Malt liquor.
Yeah. Get ready for some judging. It's time for myself. Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, street festivals. Jason.
Depending on which street it's on, cool.
Kareem.
I'm going to say Tool. They can be a little bit Tool. Mm-hmm.
Diana Hong.
I'm going to go with Tool. That can be a little much.
Yeah, it's Tool.
He lost again.
It's the fucking scenesters and the people who... Look, if you had to use every inch of your SUV to get your fucking brood down there, there's too much of you. Stay home. They're called babysitters. They're teenagers who could use the extra money. And if you can't afford a babysitter, you shouldn't be out drinking in the street in the middle of the day. True. Motherfucker.
I don't know. I think it's like street fairs we'll want to get is like farmer's markets. That's like the only one I would like tolerate.
Oh. Up next in Cooler Tool, Ronda Rousey, Kareem.
Damn it. I like the arm bar. The way she can arm bar is cool, but her attitude can be a bit much, so... I'm gonna say a little. I'm on the fence on this one. So I'm gonna have two, half cool, half tool.
Diana.
I like what she does for the sport and like women athletes in general. But like the weigh-in, that was really tooly, and I lost a lot of respect for her because that's one thing I really liked about her was that she was still kind of kept her cool. But that fucking weigh-in, I was like, you got Hollywood. Like that's what I felt like happened. I was like, bitch, you ain't that cool.
Jason.
Shit. Okay, I'm gonna say after hearing her talk and seeing the I wanna say Tool.
You just described Sarah Palin. Yeah. I feel like that's how the country felt about Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Tool.
Yeah, Tool. And then I didn't realize that she had endorsed Roseanne Barr for president.
Yeah, that's
the
Tool.
The more
just
she
on that.
Talks,
yeah,
the worse
that
it
that
gets.
Sort of tipped it. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Scotland, Diana.
Scotland overall, I would say pretty. They started golf, which is kind of Tool.
Hold on.
That's how you got through college, girl. Right.
I know, but it's a Thule sport, and it's very racist and very elitist, and I'm not a fan of that.
But not when they were doing it.
Your cousins are ruling female golf right now.
Oh, no, now, because that's like, it's about money and math. No shit, we're going to fucking rule that.
Are you just mad because you're the only Korean that's not kicking ass at golf?
I know, right? Some bullshit. I think, should I go? I guess I'll go cool. I did pay for college.
Kareem.
Golf and Sean Connery, cool.
Jason.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean Connery alone is cool.
That's true.
Yeah. To quote a magical line, if it ain't Scottish, it's crap. From Mike Myers on Saturday Night Live.
Gosh, I love, oh my God. So I Married an Axe Murderer is one of my favorites.
That is a very underrated film. It really is.
Head, move your head. Move your head. Head.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. That's a very good pull. All right, he's not Scottish, but he is from England. James Corden is the new host of The Late Late Show. He's been making a lot of headway with his little musical numbers. It's been mostly driving around in a car, singing with people, and somehow he came up with this idea of updating the lyrics to Ironic and got Alanis Morissette to come on the show and do it with him.
An old friend sends you a Facebook request. You only find out they're racist after you accept. There's free office cake on the first day of your diet. It's like they announce a new iPhone the day after you buy it. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like swiping there on your future soulmate. It's a snap chat that you wish you had saved. It's a funny tweet that nobody fakes. And who are the fun singers? It's a traffic jam. Try to use Waze. And no smoking sign when you brought your vape. It's 10,000 male late night hosts when all you want is just one woman. Seriously.
Singing the Jew out of your dreams and then Alanis Morissette shouting at you. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
A little too ironic. And yeah, I really do think.
So that's the updated lyrics to Ironic. I believe inspired by Diana Hong's life.
I love everything about that.
You know what's really amazing is her voice is still phenomenal.
Yeah. She's like, what has she been doing?
Living off of the money from that album.
Yeah, right?
That was a really good album. Like, if you ever like really just want to fuck up your ex, that was the album too.
it was the quintessential angry chick album of the mid 90s.
Oh my
it was.
God.
And I can't believe it was about Dave Coulier.
Well, that's sort of up for dispute. Like,
really?
She's,
I thought she said it was for him.
Nah. She said it's about a number of, like, there's a thought that I've heard that she said that it's about multiple people.
Right.
Oh, like, that makes sense. Yeah.
It was only one of them.
Right.
But it was just like, I see him as Uncle Joey, and I'm just like, really? You inspired that much disdain?
Well, his cock did, to be fair.
Well, and if you've ever had a woman love you, or if you've ever been loved, I mean, if you've just ever been loved and then had your heart broken,
I know you, like, don't understand this, Diana, but try.
Like, yeah, you can be really upset.
That's true.
You can be upset.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I always send my exes fucking roses, especially after they give me a fucking hamster. Yes, totally not.
Have we mentioned how much we missed you? We have a lot of abuse to give you. So Donald Trump has listed, they've compiled a list of 32 things that Donald Trump finds disgusting. In no particular order, the University of Missouri protests, the Baltimore riots, the rollout of Obamacare, terrorists, Bette Midler, property he couldn't buy, the media, Pharma Bro. That's the guy who jacked up the price of the...
Oh, the douche.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. You have to agree with Donald Trump on at least some of these things that are disgusting.
That's how he fucking gets you. He's like, you're either with me or against me. It's like, but that one point.
I keep telling y'all he's Archie fucking Bunker.
The cover of Time magazine that featured a woman breastfeeding an elementary age child.
I like how he just bowls crazy. I mean, that's great, right? You gotta get anything that's fucking.
Obama's reelection. He found that disgusting.
But that's
Deadspin telling Donald Trump to fuck off. The Obama administration. Look, this isn't 32 if all of them are Obama. families of soldiers not getting money for burials. That's disgusting. Breastfeeding. Not disgusting. Anthony Weiner. Disgusting. Rotting utility poles outside of one of his properties. Go with disgusting. The windmill over the 14th hole at some golf course. Windmills in Iowa, windmills in general. Windmills. That, seriously, that's the list. Barney Frank's erect nipples. I think we can all get behind that as being disgusting.
What does he have against windmills?
Yeah, well, because he
fucked over some people in Ireland. Scotland with a golf course, yeah.
And they put up windmills. Rosie O'Donnell. Donald Sterling's comments about black people. Again, he zigs and zags all over the place. An anti-Mormon whisper campaign. A Mexican jail. The Mexican judicial system. The Freedom Tower. A call made during a boxing match that Donald Trump didn't like.
Okay.
Rolling Stone's editors. Kanye West. A Scottish farmer who refused to sell his land to Donald Trump, and a joke on SNL about the German Wings air tragedy. These are just 32 things that Donald Trump has called disgusting. Let me just double check this really quickly, because he also commented on Ronda Rousey this weekend, because of course he did. Donald J. Trump. You know, I'm a little disturbed by people who actually follow him. I have to go ahead and... It's not like you can't go ahead and look him up.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing right now. You know, you don't need to give him a follow. He likes Tom Brady. He said, Tom Brady did it again. He is not only a great guy, he is, without question, the best quarterback. Where's the Ronda Rousey thing? It's before the debate. Ah, glad to see that Ronda Rousey lost her championship fight last night, was soundly beaten. Not a nice person.
That's funny.
Says Donald Trump. He's entertaining if nothing else. So we have that. And we have this.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
All right, we're going to start with a woman who called 911.
Stunner, this Claremont woman arrested for calling 911 and asking them to bring her chicken wings and cigarettes. Her thinking here, she was too drunk to drive, so someone else needed to help her out. Her friend tried to say it was a joke, but police actually showed up and arrested her. Leanne Watson charged tonight with misuse of the 911 system.
So that happened.
Wow. I'm not surprised by that.
Well, I mean, there are important things. Also in Florida, after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers suffered a defeat marked by fumbles, penalties, and just one touchdown, I believe this was a week ago, this is dated November 10th, authorities say a South Florida man tried to set the team's oversized flag on fire. Tampa police say it happened just after the Giants beat the Buccaneers 32-18. A caller said someone was attempting to torch the $26,000 flag outside the Bucs corporate offices near Raymond James Stadium. The red banner featuring a skull and two crossed cutlasses measures about 80 by 50 feet and hangs from a 15-story pole. Police say the fire-retardant flag did not actually go up in flames, but a small part was damaged. They sued 32-year-old Daniel Justin Raboni of North Palm Beach was charged with felony criminal mischief and marijuana possession. So fuck all you all who say, well, if you got weed, you're not going to be angry and do angry shit. Fuck you.
Well, the weed they have nowadays is a little different.
it does not prevent you. Because literally everyone in the NFL is smoking weed. And they're all very angry and violent at times.
Well, they're also hyped up on, like...
They get paid to
testosterone.
Be.
Yeah.
Well, they
if someone paid me to be angry, well, I'd be fucking angry.
Yeah, but you don't have to take your work home with you, is what I'm saying. NFL players.
4%.
Oh, damn.
It's not even... It's like 4%.
So Kareem...
4% too many.
You have a Juke Joint Friday show coming up here?
Juke Joint Friday Reggae Edition.
Ooh.
So we have...
You'll be jamming?
So we have some reggae, the Wings and Roots reggae group, and Mr. Eric Clark will be telling some jokes. And then next month, we're going to have a Juke Joint Friday guitar edition. So we're going to have J.R. De Guzman and his guitar playing joke telling self.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hunter Hill with his guitar playing joke telling Donkey Dick.
I've never ever met Hunter. I see him a lot on Facebook. I don't know if I've ever met him though.
Hunter is hilarious. Like Junior Jake JR stuff is, I won't say more intelligent, but yeah, I guess it's a little bit, but Hunter's stuff is hilarious though.
So the November Juke Joint Friday is
Wings and Roots.
When and is it this Friday?
This Friday. Doors open at 7. The show will start at 8. We open at 7 and don't start the show till 8 to give you a chance to look around at the art exhibit that's on the wall because we do it in an art gallery.
The Brick House Art Gallery in Oak Park.
Can I just make
Oak Park light.
Yeah, because it's really white.
There are more places to buy coffee than there is crack in that part of the park.
I tried to buy coffee at that that Old Soul over there. The Old Soul, right?
Yeah.
I tried to get a one of their nitrogen coffees. They wouldn't let me get it in a to-go cup. They told me that I had to drink it in the glass goblet because it had like nitrogen in it. Like, I don't know. I was like, you guys are fucking assholes. Right. If I want to buy coffee, give me fucking some coffee. But then I, like seriously, what the fuck?
I don't think you should fuck with someone who is asking for coffee because that means they haven't had coffee yet. That's not when you fuck with the person.
I mean, like it was night, but I mean, Jesus Christ, like what the fuck about drinking it out of a fucking glass? Like put it, what I did one time, because they do this at the Chocolate Fish also. I got it and I just dumped it into the cup right in front of him and put a lid.
What'd they say?
He got pissed off. I'm like, you're fucking way too hip for
yourself.
Unless
they give you, is there a scientific reason for that?
No. There is. They say there's a scientific reason because that's to properly enjoy the taste and the finish.
Oh,
on
it's not toxic.
No, it's
then
not.
Then what the fuck is wrong with them?
They're fucking idiots and they take themselves too seriously and they're ruining fucking Oak Park.
Those are the people ruining Oak Park.
They are. No, I felt sorry for the black guy behind the counter there because I was like, I'm sorry, man. I know it's not you. He's like, yeah, no, it's not. I would get in trouble if I served it to you.
Yeah, the tall guy.
Yeah. But I was gonna say, what time did you guys pull the tickets? Because I went to Juke Joint and I was gonna buy mine online, like I should have. And when I did, I couldn't go online anymore and do it. It was like an hour beforehand.
That's when it stops.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to pay, so do it online because otherwise you have to charge at the door.
Where do people get tickets online?
Tickets online at Eventbrite. Just look up Juke Joint Fridays. You should be able to find it. And then on Facebook, we have the Juke Joint Friday page and event, and there should be a link there's a link to Eventbrite on both of those.
And you should, I just want to endorse this like heavily, because if you are in Sacramento, you should go if you're listening. Because last time they had this guy with tea out there, and he was giving out, like, you know, he has some tea, and then there's also, you know, maybe some other drinks you might have. If I would have known that, I wouldn't have fucked with fucking Old Soul. I would have gotten some tea, because the guy wouldn't have been like, no, sorry, I can't serve it to you in a styrofoam cup. Yeah.
So Leo Hickman of the Happy Hippie Tea Cafe, he's a really nice guy. Tea at our events. And then I don't know if she's going to be there this time or not, but Miss Lolita, my love for vintage, she has a vintage clothes truck that she brings out, so...
Oh, I think I did see that. The whole event is super fun. It's super cool.
Yeah, even if you leave halfway through, like Diana does when she comes out.
No. That happened one time, and it was 3/4 of the way through.
How do you know you were gone?
She stayed the last time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course I stayed the last time, because I didn't have... To fucking why I know I remember why I left, and that's why that person is no longer in my life anymore.
She's moving on.
I'm pissed that I missed D. Tyler. I'm still fucking pissed about that.
Oh, D. Tyler's so
well,
funny.
It was D. Tyler a lot that I missed last time. Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, Juke Drum Friday this Friday at the Brickhouse Art Gallery in Oak Park. Come out and support Kareem if you're in town and have the opportunity to. Besides, what else are you going to do?
That's right. I can tell you about Ben Carson and his search for street credibility.
I wonder if he'll find it. By the way, everybody, thank you for supporting the show by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it, and I know we've gotten some new and different people who've been doing it, whether they're the people that have found the show because of the Facebook promoted post that we did a couple weeks ago. But here's how I know, Kareem. Because I can see what people ordered. Someone got hair extensions.
Ah, so one of the black people that
that's right.
Listen to the show.
I'm like, hair extensions. That's not our normal audience. That must be the new folks. So thank you for doing that. And by the way, let me just say this: I got Leslie's first Christmas gift on Amazon, and I sprung for the extra $3.50 or whatever it was to have it gift wrapped. So it arrives. Plain brown box. I opened it up, and there was a lovely wrapped gift inside.
I'll do that shit for you.
So if you're shipping it somewhere,
he's trying to sell it. All right, don't say you'll do it for him. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
if Diana can't come to your house to wrap your gifts for you, or if you're shipping them someplace where you can't be. Like, you know, my dad lives in Vermont, and I'm going to go to Vermont in early December, but if I wanted to send him something to open on Christmas Day, I could send him something to open on Christmas Day that opened up the package, boom, it's wrapped. Put it under the tree, easy as pie, and it's a nice little addition if you want to do it that way. But always check Amazon for your prices, because usually you'll find a pretty good deal there, and if you're going to shop on Amazon, please click through our site. It's NateDarlingShow.com. It doesn't cost you extra, and it does help support the show. So thank you very much for doing that.
Support the show.
Yeah. And
get that $3. My bad. I probably won't go to your house to wrap your present. Just Nate.
Listen, well, here's the thing. If you live with somebody nosy, that's the other thing.
That's
if you live
true.
With somebody nosy and the gifts
come
to the house and they're like shaking and they want to open it up, it's great. Go ahead. Go ahead and open the box. What you're going to find is a wrapped gift.
Yep.
And nothing else, sucka.
And then you're going to know they peeped because it's wrapped. But I love wrapping patches. That's one thing I miss about selling shoes at this time of year is just like I got hella good at wrapping presents, especially oak boxes.
The gift of shoes.
And I was pretty fucking bomb at it. And I think it's because it reminds me of origami and it's just very soothing and zen-like for me.
Very nice.
So I miss it.
Oh.
Very nice. Diana, do you have any shows coming up you'd like to plug?
Wait, what day is it? I seriously have no sense of time. Like, work has been so crazy. I have no idea what's going on. On the 28th, I am going to be... What's that city called? It's S-U-I-S-U-N.
Sassoon.
I'm going to fuck that up. I'm a host, too. That's not good.
Yeah, you better
I'm hosting at the Sassoon Theater, I think it's called, with Cheryl Anderson, the soccer mom Anderson, is featuring, and then Steph Garcia is headlining.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be a really dope show. That's the 28th. That's in a while. But just, y'all know I always forget, so I got to plug it in
It's
now.
10 days from the first day you can hear this show. So that's not too much. That's actually a really good time for people to make plans.
Oh, good. Say I did something right.
Yeah, perfect.
Getting better.
Perfect.
Coming back with a vengeance and accuracy. I'm going to stop.
Jason, you got any shows coming up?
Actually,
Other than your wedding?
Yes, yeah. I didn't plan anything this weekend because I wasn't sure where we would be in our wedding planning and stuff like that. So I leave on next Monday. So, you know.
So this is the last we'll have you on the show as a single man.
Yeah. I'll be good and married.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm up to.
Oh, I do actually have 3 shows this week.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm at the Laughs Unlimited Thursday with Michael Calvin, Say It Loud. Okay. And then Sunday night, I'm at the Punchline with Stephen Fury.
Busy, busy. All right, let's wrap this show up and call it an episode with this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
It's time for Speak Out.
Yes!
It's my favorite one!
As someone in the healthcare and insurance business, city employees will not get a better deal with the new insurance being offered. You get what you pay for, and they pay for nothing.
Says the guy that had the old account.
Hey, thank you to the nice gentleman with a cane who helped me get up after a fall in the Seton Academy parking lot.
Oh,
street sweeper, why are you out? You can't get near the curbing as the cars are all about. There's a park near my house with a garbage can. The city garbage crew do not empty it or change the bag, though it passes it once a week. 3 days after the garbage crew passes, a pickup truck and driver comes and empties the garbage can. How does this make sense? Drivers parking in crosswalks and driving around pedestrians already in crosswalks continues to be a problem at my child's school. Something needs to change before somebody gets hit. Is that a threat or an observation?
We know who did that.
Most of us have heard the saying that marijuana is the gateway drug to harder drugs. Now let's start saying that being biased is the gateway to hazing.
Wait, what? Okay.
Exactly.
That person sounds like they were high.
Right. That was a great idea they had while high. A large plane arrives into Plattsburgh from Florida. A family drives from Montreal, parks their car, gets on plane, flies to Florida. Family returns on big plane, gets in car, drives back to Montreal. Say this happens thousands of times. Where's the economic benefit? I'm not going to take the time to explain it, but trust me, there's plenty of economic benefit. Hey, when the homeowners of the city of Plattsburgh purchased their property, they knew that if there was a sidewalk in front of their house, they'd have to maintain it in the winter. If you didn't want to do that, then you should have bought a house in a different part of the city. Parts where taxes are high, but no sidewalks.
Yeah, keep your sidewalk clean. Hey, kid.
It was a choice. And finally, the city of Plattsburgh needs to step into the technical age. Most businesses give incentives for paying bills online. The city charges a convenience fee. Why are they still mailing out utility bills in a world that's gone paperless? Won't it require less manpower? At least give citizens an option. The city might just save money for once. And that's Speak Out. By the way, how does one speak out? Well, you can email submissions to speakout@pressrepublican.com. Do not exceed 50 words, and please proofread for spelling, punctuation, and grammar before you send it. By the way, it doesn't matter if you're trying to sneak in from somewhere else, because former co-host Becca Costello tried many times to get something in Speak Out and failed. That became her raison d'etre after becoming a minister and a vegan, was trying to get published in Speak Out, and it never worked. So, good luck to you.
Did she ever make a comment about the sidewalks? Because I bet you that would have gotten her on right away. Like, I'm definitely going to try it with sidewalks.
What about the fucking sidewalks? You knew when you bought your fucking house there was a sidewalk out front, and you were going to have to keep it clear, motherfucker.
I mean, how many times have you done speak out, and how many times has there been a comment about, at least one to two comments about sidewalks?
Okay, it hasn't really snowed yet either. Let's not forget that.
I can't wait.
Wait till it snows. Gosh. Like, really snows.
Oh, man. I'm going to troll him. I'm going to troll him and talk about the sidewalks.
There you go. Well, we'll go ahead and do that because, you can do it. Hey, by the way, I just want to we've got different things. Now, I mentioned supporting the show. What do we do with stuff when we support the show? Well, we buy equipment like our new board. And we've done the Echo thing, so you can hear that. We do things to make sure the show sounds good. We have spent money on a voiceover person, so we have professional voiceovers for the show open. And, all sorts of stuff like that. So let me just leave you with this thought.
Thanks for listening. And remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Yeah!